No matter if the economy is up or down, healthcare careers continue to grow, especially in management. Stevenson University Online's Master's in Healthcare Management can put your career on a new track, especially for career changers with previous business, HR, or technology backgrounds. Discover new opportunities with our Healthcare Management Masters. No GREs, no application fees, and 100% online. Visit online.stevenson.edu/healthcaremanagement.
What's going on, everybody? I have to tell you about Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. The best part about it is it's completely free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome in to Fired Up Episode 7. My name is Mike Giletto. Joining me, as usual, is Dom Console. What's up, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Not much. We had a busy week. Phillies, who knows, win, loss, the same as usual. Sixers won a big game 5, and then, lost a devastating, dramatic game 1. And then you had a YouTuber fighting the best boxer of all time, maybe. Maybe we'll get into that. Did you see any of it?
I haven't seen any of it, really. I didn't really watch it, but I do have a lot of opinions on it, if that counts for anything.
Hey, we could get into that then. We could get Sixer stuff later. What are your opinions on it? What do you think? I mean, I definitely didn't watch it illegally. Just, I don't want to incriminate myself here.
Yeah. So I'm not a big boxing guy. I'm not a big MMA guy. I'm just not really into fighting. I know the big guys like Deontay Wilder, and you know he's like the big heavyweight guy right now. Obviously, the Ali's. Yeah, no, he's. I don't really watch it much, but I know who he is, and he's a bad dude. But I don't watch it much. But growing up, the two biggest guys were probably Mayweather and Pacquiao. You would say, I guess, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Absolutely. It kind of hurts the sport a little bit when those guys aren't heavyweight guys, they're middleweight. So, obviously I know the greats and stuff, but here's the thing though, with getting away from like the heavyweights already in the last 30 years or so, like those big guys like Tyson and, I'm in the guys in the 80s and stuff like that, getting away from the heavyweight, it kind of takes you away from the sport. Now, with that being said, in the last year or so, like it's just kind of becoming a mockery almost. Like you, like the sport was already suffering because you didn't have this big heavyweight guy who everybody knew. You know, your biggest guy was Mayweather, who was a middleweight, but like, and Pacquiao, but like, I don't know, like this past like year, like Chad Ochocinco's fighting and like YouTubers are fighting and McGregor moved to boxing like for that match against Mayweather. Like it's kind of becoming a mockery, and like, I already didn't watch the sport. Now I'm definitely not going to watch the sport.
Well, I'd argue it's doing the opposite of that. Like, sure,
the
old heads and the boxing fanatics, right, are probably pissed off about it. It's making a mockery, whatever. But it's still getting eyes on it. People that wouldn't normally watch a sport.
I don't disagree with you at all. I don't like it. I'm not even really a boxing fan. I'll watch the big fights. Like I watched Pacquiao and Mayweather, not illegally, not going to incriminate myself here, but, I watched McGregor and Mayweather, what was that last year or the year before?
Probably two or three now going back. Yeah.
So I watched the big ones, but you know, it's just, I'm just not interested. I'm just not interested in really seeing YouTubers fight.
I was intrigued by it. Cause like, what if the impossible did happen where he landed a nice hook and catches him off guard. Yeah, but I'm talking about like knockout wise. Like,
oh yeah.
What if he knocked out Mayweather? You know,
well, it's never going to happen, dude.
Probably not. No, absolutely. That's why I was intrigued though.
Yeah. But it's not going to happen simply for the fact that like boxing is not a sport you can wake up and play. Like it's like baseball or hockey. Like you kind of have to do it your whole life. There's a certain way to train. So when you're a YouTuber and you say, okay, well, I'm going to fight the greatest boxer in the last 20 years. in 2 months. Like, you're going to train for 2 months. Like, it's just these, like, Mayweather has been training since he was probably 5 years old. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just, I'm going to wake up and be a boxer. It's not like football where you'll wake up and, you know, you're a freshman in high school and it is the first time you've ever played. And then you make it to the NFL. Like, it, like, that's possible. Even basketball to a certain extent is kind of like that. Like, Joel Embiid started playing at 16. Like, right. It's a little rare, but football, you could start in college. Hypothetically, Ziggy Ansah used to play for Detroit. He like started in college. So, like, I just think boxing is just, you know, it's just a life sport, and it's kind of hard to wake up and say, okay, in 2 or 3 months I'm going to fight the greatest fighter in the world and I'm going to knock him out. Like, it's a little more to that.
It's ballsy though.
Yeah, no, it's entertaining. I definitely kept my eye on it. I didn't watch it, but mainly for the fact that I hate the Paul brothers, so I kind of want to see them get
I hear you, but I think that's what makes it so compelling, because, like, a lot of people feel that way about Mayweather as well.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
It's like, can they both lose?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think it's enough. Well,
here, wait, hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
So what's funny about that is, no matter how you feel about Mayweather, I mean, the dude's a fucking genius. Like, how much did he just make? 50 or 100 million? I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't even know, but yeah, probably.
It's somewhere around there. And he just literally fought a guy in an exhibition that won't even count against his record.
Oh, it was a glorified sparring match. That's all it was.
Hey, if they asked me to get in a fucking ring and make, how much did Paul make? $5 million?
Probably more than that, I would say.
I'll do it even for $5 million. Like, where do I sign up?
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's enough of that though.
Right. You don't have the following of a Paul brother though.
That's true.
Maybe this podcast will get us there.
I hope so.
Doubt it. All right, let's move on to the Sixers, shall we? So we were last week we were coming off of a Game 4 loss to the Wizards. We didn't know what was going on with Joel Embiid. He missed Game 5 with what they're calling a small or slight meniscus tear, which just wording sounds more serious than maybe it is. But so he was out Game 5. They won. They got it together. They won 129-112. Before we get into the series with the Hawks, did you have anything to say about that? Because, I mean, Tyrese Maxey, in my opinion, he looked fantastic in that game. Like, he was aggressive. He looked great, I thought, in Game 5.
Yeah, I mean, all year he's been that guy that just,
that's true,
his head is on fire and he's just running all over the court. And I think that was one of the key things for the Sixers coming into the playoffs, was that he was going to be a factor in the sense that a guy coming off the bench that runs all over the court, and who the hell is going to want to guard him?
He's on a mission. Like, just the flat out aggression and his willingness to just get
play
to
hard
the basket, and that was it. Just go 100%. It was awesome to watch. Tobias Harris looked great in Game 5. I mean, it was really just an all-around effort from everybody without Joel Embiid there. They had a game plan, and they stuck to it.
Absolutely. You know, guys stepped up that, like you said, Tobias Harris, a guy who struggled in Game 4, came up and hit his shots and led his team to the victory.
Absolutely. So then they play play Game 1 against the Hawks. A brutal first half. I mean, just an absolute brutal first half. Trae Young put his ball sack on Danny Green's forehead multiple times for that entirety of the first half. It was bad.
He stuck his dick inside of Philadelphia thrusted.
It was horrible. And somehow, with how bad that first half went, I think the Sixers got it down to like 2 at the end of the game, somehow.
There was like 20-something seconds left, I think. They got it down to 2. But going back to that first half, though, like, okay, before we even go through the first half, let me just say this about the game. I think that, and I even tweeted it out, that I really think that we're never going to see this again from the Hawks and the Sixers. Like, the Hawks, they literally hit every shot in the first half. Like, not literally, but almost every shot in the first half. Right. And the Sixers couldn't hit anything. Wide open shots, nothing. And then the second half showed up, and the Hawks started to kind of like, not get cold, but they started to chill out a little bit. And then the Sixers started hitting shots. Now, the first half, I'm gonna give you a stat, okay?
Okay.
The Atlanta Hawks averaged 12 threes a game in the regular season. They hit 13 in the first quarter.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So they were just on fire. I just really think, as a whole, the whole game, I think it was just a matter of the Hawks just hit every shot, which I don't think is going to continue to happen. And the Sixers just, they weren't lazy. but they were just not on the same page. I don't think guys were jogging or not giving 100%. It was just more of a sense of not being on the same page. I mean, what was it? 12 turnovers in the first half, 9 in the first quarter. Like,
it was just sloppy.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was sloppy because they weren't on the same page, not because of laziness. But I think the in playoff basketball, if you have 15 turnovers in the game, turnovers happen in basketball. But if you have like 15 turnovers, you're not really in a good position. I mean, you're okay, but if you have more than 15, you're really in a really, really bad position. And like I said, they had 12 by halftime.
Right.
So you can kind of live with 15 in a game in the playoffs. Definitely with 12, but you know, they have to clean it up. They have to clean it up and get on the same page and find that chemistry again.
Yeah, and again, you saw it in the second half, them start to gel a little bit. So, like, yeah, they lost game one to a decent Hawks team. I don't think they're anything special, but I mean, they're still decent. But like, they lost game one, but I still don't feel bad about it. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
not at all.
Sixers in five.
Like, I'm still confident about it. I'm confident about it, and I still think that, like you said, like Sixers in five, maybe six. You know, and it's very – this happens in basketball, whether it's the playoffs or regular season. Like, the Sixers will play 10 straight games where they look great, and then, you know, it's just sports in general, really. It's just sometimes you have an off game, and sometimes the other team just hits every shot. Like, you know, you had guys like Lou Williams and who hit a three on, I guess it was Thibault, right in his face, like – like that doesn't happen anymore. Like Lou Williams isn't that guy anymore. Like,
right.
Who was it? Gallinari, I think it was, came off the bench and hit like four threes or whatever it was. Like, it's just this, they're not that team. So, you know, they hit a spark, and unfortunately at the same exact time, the Sixers just couldn't find it.
Yeah. I mean, and even Joel Embiid he's definitely hurt, obviously, but like still put up 39 points.
Yeah.
I mean, what more could you ask for? 39 points from Embiid. You still had 17 from Simmons, which is, I mean, it's a solid game. Still got to work on his free throw stuff. I know he what was he, 3 for 10 or something from the line?
Yeah, I think so.
I think he was 3 for 10. But
yeah, so what's that make him, 8 for 30 in the playoffs?
Something like that. Yeah,
he was five for 20 before.
Right.
Before the game.
So he's still got to figure that out. But he's 17 points from him, 21 from Curry, 20 from Tobias. I mean, you should win that game if you just don't have a sloppy first half.
For sure.
They would have got it done.
And that goes back to the, you know, they just weren't on the same page in the first half, especially the defense wasn't on the same page. The turnovers, like, and this isn't why they lost, but it's also a factor. The refs were fucking horrendous.
It doesn't help. I mean, I hate going.
That's
the
not
ref
why
angle.
They lost. Right.
Yeah. I hate going I agree. The ref angle, but it definitely didn't help. That's for sure.
Like just missed calls. Like the Danny Green, when Simmons, I don't know if you remember the specific play, but, I think there was a rebound Simmons got. He threw it out to Danny Green for the outlet, and Danny Green was basically by himself, but in front of the ref. John Collins for Atlanta grabs Danny Green by the back of the jersey in front of the ref and then picks off the pass. And then they turn, you know, it's as a turnover. And like, there's just no call. Like literally handful of his jersey. I don't know if you saw the video.
I don't remember the specific one that you're talking about, but in my opinion, Danny Green shouldn't get another call against him for the history of time with the egregious flop he did in game five.
All right. Well,
he was flopping like a damn flounder.
I'm just gonna
ignore
you.
Knock that off.
I'm just gonna ignore you.
His arms were flailing back and forth, and he hit him. He was a fish out of water. Stop that. He shouldn't get another call for his entire existence as an NBA player.
I'm not disagreeing with you that they don't flop, but like it's the playoffs. You got to get whatever you can.
Sure.
But I don't know the specific play you're talking about, so I'd have to see it, but.
It was pretty bad. I don't remember specifically when it was, but it was bad.
They're one notch above soccer player, so I hear you. But like, you know, you're trying to get every call you can.
For sure.
But yeah, I mean, it's just and Doc's gameplay. It was just a really really bad, really really tough coaching game for Doc. Like
absolutely,
it's just Danny Green can't cover Trey. I don't know why Simmons is probably the best defender in the league, arguably.
Right.
And he just does not play on Trey. Like, which doesn't make sense because Simmons has the speed, he has the athleticism, and he's got the length. Like, I think he could shut Trey Young down. He's shut down every superstar this year.
Absolutely.
So that he's faced, aside from Bradley Beal in the playoffs, like, you know, but yeah, I don't know why your best defensive player isn't playing against their star. Yes,
right. Exactly. Or even if you want a different matchup with Simmons, like Thybulle is a better defender than Danny Green. I mean, Thybulle's played really well defensively.
Yeah, but he just doesn't play. He doesn't play the minutes.
Yeah,
that's
true.
The only issue.
That's true.
Even if you give him a combination of Simmons and Thybulle, like,
right.
But
Danny Green should not be on him.
Like, no.
We can agree there.
Absolutely. Anybody else? Me. Right. I'll guard him.
You're not guarding.
I'll sign a 10-day. I'm free.
There you go.
I have vacation at work.
Yeah, that's fine.
Vacation time.
Yeah, they'll let you out of that. To help the Sixers win a championship, you'll be
out. Yeah.
I
can flop like LeBron and Danny Green.
Sure you can. Well, I'll get to LeBron in a second because that reminded me.
Oh, boy.
So, anything else with the Sixers? I mean, again, it's one game. They play game two Tuesday night, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, by the time next week's show comes out, or by the time we record next week, they'll probably play like one or two more games because that's how the NBA playoffs work. just another dig at the NBA playoffs. But it's really not much to talk about. I mean, I know we see that every week, but we'll have more to discuss with this series, you know, next week. I mean, it's one game. It was a bad game. They lost. I have all the faith in the world that they could turn this around.
I agree completely, man.
All right. So is that it?
I think so.
All right. Well, that reminded me. Let's move on to the LA Lakers and LeBron losing. I guess.
Why do we talk about this guy every week?
I don't know. Like, first off, it was magical. And it was also just flat out embarrassing the way that he just flat out quit. Like, he just looked like he had no desire to play basketball. He just flat out quit. And it was a beautiful thing to watch. It was great.
I completely agree, but
right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be the first time in 11 years that we don't see an NBA Finals, you know, with Steph Curry or LeBron James. Back in 2010, when the Lakers beat the Celtics in 7 games. Now,
wow.
do you think you can name the starting lineup for each team back then in 2010?
So the Lakers, Celtics?
Lakers, Celtics, 2010.
The Lakers would be Kobe, Powell, Odom?
It says he's coming off the bench, but
okay.
Was
Artest on that team?
Artest was on that team.
Was he a starter?
He was.
Okay, so it was Powell, Kobe, Artest, Fisher?
Fisher, yep, there's one.
And who? What's the last position?
What is he? I think he's a guard. I'm not good at basketball. You put me on the spot.
Fisher's a point guard. Kobe's a guard. Artest is a power forward. Gasol's a center, so it would be the small forward.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Philadelphia Sixers legend.
Oh, boy.
Now is the chance to use reliable energy to grow your money with the Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. Our new investment product offers competitive returns, no maintenance fees, and flexible online access to your money. Make the reliable investment in reliable energy. The Dominion Energy Reliability Investment. To find out more, go online to reliabilityinvestment.com. That's reliabilityinvestment.com.
I'm not even sure he ever suited up for a game for the Sixers.
Oh, Bynum.
There you go.
Okay, he's the center. He was the center. Powell's the forward.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, and Artest was the forward. Okay, so then the Celtics, right? So the power forward was Kevin Garnett.
Yep.
Forward was Pierce. Ray Allen was a shooting guard. Rondo was a point guard. And then the center, Perkins?
No.
No?
Nate Robinson did come off the bench, though, and, you know, bringing it back to the Pauls and boxing. There you go.
Oh, man. Who's the center for the Celtics? I'm like, I'm 9-for-10 right now.
You are. You're on fire. You're on a roll.
Oh, man. Is this like a well-known guy?
Yeah. Yeah, I know him, and I'm not even a big basketball guy.
Shit. That wasn't Shaq.
No.
Because I know he was in Boston, but.
Right.
Oh, man.
Give up?
Yeah, just because we're on a time.
Right. Yeah, we could be here for the next hour and a half.
Right.
Rasheed Wallace.
Rasheed Wallace. Okay, that's so dumb. That's so bad.
What, that you couldn't get it?
No, that he was their starting center at that point in his career.
Right. So that was the last...
They did make a final, so.
Right. So that was the last time an NBA final didn't have Steph Curry or LeBron James in it, which is actually insane to even think about. 11 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, but, you know, fuck LeBron, so moving on, I guess. Do you want to talk? Where do you want to go? Sixers? I mean, Eagles or Philly? I guess we could go Eagles because I know you wanted to bring this up. So they started breaking ground on the Lincoln Financial Field, right? 20 years ago, I think today.
Right? I believe so. That's what I got from it.
I think today, 20 years ago. So
yeah, because it opened in 03, so that was 2 years from 01.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, they essentially started building it 20 years ago today.
Right. So I know you kind of wanted to go a list of your greatest Link moments.
Yeah.
And I got some audio to play. Did you want me to play them first, or did you want to talk about?
Well, we'll talk about it. Okay. And then when, I guess before I name it, we could play the audio. This one is okay. So I just came up with a list off the top of my head, memorable moments. There might be some I'm missing. There might be some that, you know, listeners or even you, Mike, that, you know, you have great memories that you've been there or watched that I don't have in the list, but,
I have one, and I don't know if you're going to name it, but I have one that just, as soon as we talked about doing this, one that clicked in my mind right away.
Okay.
So I'm curious if it was on your list.
So the first one, I think we have audio for, it's the Cowboys, 44-6.
44-6. All right. Yeah. 1 second here. Live podcast. Well, not live, but you know what I mean? Hold on. Cowboys 44-6. Well, they see this is great podcasting here. Let's go to Minnesota, and the Eagles have defeated the Dallas Cowboys 44-6. All right, there we go.
Okay, so week 17 matchup on December 28th, 2008, the 44-6 Cowboys versus the Cowboys game. That got the Eagles into the playoffs, in which they made it to the NFC Championship that year. They needed a few things to happen. Like, I think the Raiders had to beat somebody, or the Jaguars had to beat. And they needed like two or three games where terrible teams were playing pretty good teams. And all three of those games, I remember it was three, I believe. I believe it was three games that they needed other teams to win, and they won. And the Eagles had to win. So going into that game, you know, the Eagles find out it's a Sunday night football game. The Eagles find out, okay, these three teams have won today. So if we win, we're in the playoffs. And yeah, I mean, it's just a memorable 44-6 game. It's a memorable time against the Cowboys, beating the Cowboys, kicking their ass on Sunday night football.
It's not just that it was a close game. Like, sure, that would have been entertaining and everything. A close game, win to get in. Sunday night football, national TV. It's the fact that you went in there and you absolutely kicked the shit out of the Dallas Cowboys,
which was
beautiful
to go to the playoffs. Like,
right.
Exactly. It was just a couple days after Christmas. Like, you know, it was a great time. So I actually, for each of these, I have, five of the six, I have six listed. I actually have a trivia question for you for each.
Okay.
So again, we won't spend too much time on the question, but the question for that game, if you can remember, who led the Eagles in receiving yards and catches on that night? So this player led receiving yard. He had the most catches and receiving yards for that specific game.
This was what year was this again?
2008.
God, that was a lot longer than I remember.
Yep.
2008. Is it going to be like was James Thrash still here?
No,
I was gonna say that.
No, he was long gone. Yeah,
that was way before then, right?
Yeah, maybe not way before, but it was like 2 or 3 years. He was probably out of here a couple years before that.
By 05, 06.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's probably gonna be. Is it like an obscure name?
Kinda. You're gonna say, "Wow, I haven't thought of this guy since December 28th, 2008."
Probably. Who is it?
It's Correll Buchalter. Three catches for 59 yards and a touchdown.
Really?
Yep. His longest was a 33-yard catch.
I would never would have came up with Buckle.
I told you, you probably haven't thought about him since December 28th, 2008.
Right.
So, okay. So the next one, we're going to outside of the box on this one, February 23rd, 2019, Flyers versus Penguins Stadium Series. Now, you and I were both at that game.
We were,
we froze our testicles off, but It was definitely a memorable once in a lifetime, you know, tell your kids in 20 years kind of night.
Right, because we went to that game together, like you said, and I wasn't even really planning on it. I think the game started at like 7 or 7:30. I texted you at like 6 o'clock. I was like, "Yo, I'm getting tickets. Let's go. Yeah. You're coming with me."
Absolutely.
It was a good time. And the thing that was like frustrating with that game is one, it was raining and it was miserable. Yeah. It was cold as shit.
I forgot about the rain.
Yeah, dude, it was freezing.
I just remember being really cold, and then when you said the rain, I'm like, "Oh, we were shit."
Yeah. And it was a miserable game, like just because it was boring until the Flyers came back late in the game and then won it in overtime. I mean, it was a pretty boring game.
And we had to pick, we bought the tickets an hour before we were high up in the bleachers or in the seats, but we had a lot of Pittsburgh fans, man, like heckling, you know, not us, cause we didn't say anything, but you know, Flyers fans around us were, you know, they were going back and forth. I mean, so, you know, it was definitely a tough couple periods until they came back. But all right. So here's your trivia.
OK,
so the Flyers scored 4 goals in that game. Can you name the 4 goal scorers?
Well, I know JVR scored the tying goal.
OK, that's one.
Drew scored the overtime winner.
That's 2.
I want to say Voracek was in there.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm going to get the fourth one.
You're 75% from the field right now.
Better than Ben Simmons at the foul line.
Really, you're 100 right now. Unless if you miss this, you're 75.
A part of me wants to say Ghost, but I don't know if he was in the lineup.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. Okay. I choose the fourth one.
Sean Couturier.
Okay. I mean, I would have got there. He's probably within the next couple of guesses.
I believe Couturier. It was 1-0 in the first period, and he scored tied at 1-1, and then Pittsburgh kind of went up 3-1.
Right. Because I remember the Voracek and JVR goals were back-to-back at the end of the third, and then Drew with the overtime winner. So I did remember those three. It was the first one I forgot.
And then I definitely remember from that game leaving the game, and just it felt like a play. I mean, the Flyers were out of it, and they sucked. But it just felt like a playoff win, you know? It just felt like the atmosphere and,
absolutely,
you know, having all the fans around. It was definitely one of those once-in-a-lifetime experiences.
Absolutely. It was awesome. It was a good time.
All right, so back to the list. We're gonna go back to the Eagles, January 23rd, and now that's a big date in our family. A couple birthdays,
but
January 23rd, 2005, Eagles Falcons NFC Championship game. The Eagles win 27-10 to go to the Super Bowl in 2005.
Okay.
Now, I mean, how much do you remember from that game?
I mean, it's going back. Was that the game? I don't remember if it was a regular season game or not. Was that the game Dawkins like annihilated Algie Crumpler?
Yep, Crumpler. Yeah, I saw his spirit go to the heavens.
Yeah, it was a beautiful
his spirit left
hit.
His body.
Absolutely.
He got up and he didn't know what like continent he was on.
It's funny because that's probably the only thing I remember from that game.
Yeah. Okay, so well then this isn't going to be a great trivia question. Who is the only Eagles player to catch 2 touchdowns? So the only scored 2 receiving touchdowns. Who was, and it was by 1 player. Do you know who it was?
Carl Buckhalter.
No. Great guess though.
I have no idea. I don't remember anything from that game at all. I don't know.
All right. So I'll give you the position.
Sure.
If that helps, tight end.
Selleck?
No, Selleck wasn't here yet.
He wasn't here yet?
No.
I have no idea.
It is a white guy.
Aren't all tight end white guys?
Well, no.
Yeah, 95%.
Yeah, I mean, a high percentage, but okay. So the answer, you want the answer?
Sure.
It's Chad Lewis.
Okay. Yeah, I probably would have got there eventually. Yeah, for some reason, like anything prior to like, what year did you say that was? That was the year that went to the Super Bowl, right? In 04.
So the 04 season, 05 playoffs.
Right. Yeah. Anything like before that Super Bowl, I just, for some reason, I just forget. I don't know.
Well, that was the Super Bowl year.
Younger. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right. Well, next on the list. Now this is more of a recent one. You know, you had to put this one on there. If you want to play the audio.
Yeah. Let's do that. Oh, it would help if I unmuted, wouldn't it?
Patrick Robinson back the other way. Looking for a block. gets it. Robinson for the
touchdown. There you go.
Yep. So January 21st, 2018, Eagles versus Vikings, NFC Championship game, 38-7 win in or out to our first Super Bowl. Now, I have a little story for you guys. I don't want to stay on this too long because, you know, we have other things to talk about. But we were at Mike's dad's house watching the game, the whole family. And I was sitting on the couch watching the game next to Mike. Now, the Vikings come out. They score early. It's 7-0. Things aren't going the Eagles' way. The Eagles come out. I think they have a 3-and-out. The Vikings come out in their second drive. I believe that was their second drive of the game. They throw the pick to Robinson. Now, everybody in the room was saying they just need a turnover. They just need a turnover. Just do something to get this crowd in the game, get us back in the game. Meanwhile, it's 7-0 still. But I remember sitting on the couch next to you, and they throw the pick, and me and you both get on the edge of our seat, and we're watching him run. And as he's running, we're slowly getting up. We're slowly getting up to celebrate. Everybody's screaming. And then he scores the touchdown, and I jump up, and I'm not kidding you, Mike grabs me by my shirt, rips me down, and gives me a hug. And that I will always remember that from that specific play, that specific game, and from that Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of when the magic started, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, just from that pick.
Right, that movement forward, that started the run. So, I mean, when was the last time, meaningless football, it just felt special, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, forget about meaningless football. When's the last time the fucking Eagles had a pick six? Probably
that's
then.
That's true. Right. Yeah. Going back years. So.
Yeah. So all right, here's your trivia.
Okay.
Who scored the first offensive touchdown for the Eagles that game?
Wow. I have no idea. But there's so many points scored. I just don't remember one specific.
That's what makes
play.
It hard.
Right. Yeah. I have no idea.
LeGarrette Blount, 11-yard touchdown run.
I was gonna go with one of the running backs because I mean, what you know, they scored a lot of our points in that, right. that run. So that makes sense.
All right, so I got two more for you.
Okay.
Name your
two, and then I'll name the one that I had.
Okay. So December 8th, 2013, Eagles Lions, the Snow Bowl.
The Snow Bowl. All right.
Yeah, Eagles win 34-20.
That was 2013.
Yeah, it was Chip Kelly's first year.
That long ago, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I
remember being a senior in high school and I literally woke up like 5 minutes after the game, like after the kickoff. And I just remember like running on the steps, like, how the hell did I oversleep? Cause like, Eagles football is like church in my house. So,
right.
Even your house too, like that's just the way we grew up. So, even missing a second of the game is like, not good. So I just remember being a senior in high school and running down the steps. Trying to turn the game on as quick as possible and not even realizing it's snowing until I put the game on.
Right. And it was
not even snowing, but like blizzarding.
Right. Yeah. It was a mess of a game. I think there's pictures out there like of LeSean McCoy, just completely just covered in snow. It was a wild game to watch.
So that actually is my trivia.
Okay.
McCoy rushed for a franchise record for most rushing yards in a single game for the Philadelphia Eagles. How many yards?
He set a record that game? Why don't I remember that? Well, I guess all they did was run the ball because they couldn't throw it.
Right.
Set a record. I feel like it would have to be a big number, though. I mean, has there been a 200-plus? I'm going to say 210.
Wow, you're really close.
Am I?
Yeah. 217.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. He set the single game record for rushing yards and for the Eagles. So
right.
That was definitely he scored two touchdowns too. He had like big runs. I think one was like 50 something yards and the other one was like 60 or 70 yards.
Nobody could tackle him. Everybody's slipping all over the field.
And he's already a slippery guy. Like he's already a slippy, shifty guy.
Yeah.
All right. So the last one, it's a personal experience of mine. It's really probably one most people don't remember as much. So my best experience at the Link, I've been to Eagles preseason games. I've been to regular season games. I've been to concerts. I've been to, like we said earlier, the Flyers Penguins Stadium series. But probably my best experience was because of my first Eagles game ever. October 8th, 2006, Eagles Cowboys, T.O.'s return to Philadelphia. His first game back in Philadelphia as a Dallas Cowboy. Like I said, my first Eagles game. I just remember, I think they won 38-24. I just remember the last drive, the Cowboys marched down the field they were on the 1 yard line and Bledsoe threw a pick six. And the Eagles were already up. It was just, I guess, a clinching touchdown pick six by Lito Shepard with 16 seconds left in the fourth quarter. And then another experience of mine, I've gone to every Eagles open practice since 2016. So, you know, I'm going this year again. So, you know, definitely love that place. I know a lot of people don't love the look of the link, but, you know, it's definitely something that you and I grew up with.
Right.
So those are some of my favorite experiences at the link.
It's funny you brought up T.O. Because here's the one play I remembered.
Looks his way. And on the first play at Philadelphia in an Eagle uniform, Terrell Owens takes it 81 yards right on the jersey number.
So it's first game as an Eagle, the very first play, they go deep. And the place just went nuts.
Okay. Technically, that was my first. I was actually at that game, too.
Were you?
Yeah. It was a preseason game, right?
No. I think. It was
against Baltimore?
Hold on. I could look at that. Talk amongst yourselves here.
Yeah, if I'm standing correct, that was the reason I say the 2006 was my first game because it was a regular season game. But
what, that was against Baltimore. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and they were wearing the all white. I remember so vividly. That was actually technically my first game. I don't remember how we got the tickets or why we got the tickets. I was literally a child, but
right.
But not to steal your shine from what you're saying, but
yeah,
I was actually at that game as well.
That's funny, then.
Aprovecha los precios más bajos de la temporada de JCPenney, como toallas de baño Home Expressions Quick Dry a solo $4.88. Y encuentra aún más ahorros en botas para damas y jeans para él y ella de marcas como St. John's Bay, Mutual Weave, Arizona y más, comenzando en $21.88 cada uno. Compre con estilo. JCPenney. Ofertas válidas hasta el 23 de octubre en selección de estilos. Los precios más bajos de la temporada se refiere al periodo del 31 de julio al 23 de octubre. Se excluyen del cupón.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Which brings up full circle, but yeah, I mean, the place went nuts. Like, you got this super,
and I don't even remember that either. Like, I remember it being T.O.'s first game and him catching that pass like vividly, but I don't remember like the place going crazy until watching replay. Yeah,
it was the replay. Everybody went nuts. We finally, not finally, but like after all the years of watching Pinkston thrash and just a recycled junk of wide receiver, we finally get a superstar in here in the very first play. Like, this is a sign of things to come.
Yeah, so. Definitely. You know, and they went to a Super Bowl, and 2 years later, he was a Cowboy.
He's playing. He played the Super Bowl on one leg. Had, what do you have, 11 catches over 100 yards? I mean, he was
something
insane
like that, yeah.
on one leg. Yeah, it's a shame they couldn't get it done because, I mean, he was outstanding. So any final thoughts on the link stuff before we move on here?
No, man, I just, I'm hoping that we can bring back what we've had the last couple of years pretty soon so that, I can go experience NFC championship games, you know?
Absolutely.
So.
All right. Well, we can move on to the Phillies then. I don't even know like where to start with the Phillies. I mean, they've scored like 35 runs in the last four games. Is the offense back? I mean, you, who knows what's going on with Citizens Bank Park? Apparently, it's starting to collapse and shit. You got Nets falling down. That was that game took like 9.5 hours. It seemed like.
I didn't know where you were going with that one.
Yeah. Right. I mean, so, but anyway, the 35 runs in the last four games, which is like we don't see from this Phillies offense. So, I mean, should we start to get optimistic a little bit, or like was that games against the Reds and the Nationals who aren't really anything special?
Well, I mean, it's definitely good to see, but like let's give it another week or two, because
for sure
what have they done earlier this year? They won five in a row and then lost five of six after that. So
absolutely,
you know, let's kind of, you know, it's nice to get JT back and Harper back and starting to get healthy here. And
right. And after scoring 35 in the last four games, like this Phillies offense is also capable of scoring like four runs in the next seven.
Yeah. Well, because in the middle of that 35, that 35 points, you know, those four or five games or whatever it was, like they scored one against the Nationals. I think it was Friday.
It was, I don't have the date, but yeah, they lost 2-1 to Washington.
Yeah, it was Friday.
It was Friday because the game was Thursday, was postponed. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's wait and see, you know, it's baseball. It's 162 games, you know, it's wait and see what, where they go with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they really need to get Alec Boehm right. I mean, I don't want to just single him out because the whole entire team, I mean, has been up and down. But, like, I think I saw a stat, and this was before, I think, the weekend games, or maybe it was on Saturday I saw it. But he's hitting, like, 180 against fastballs. Like, I mean, that's not good. I mean, the
fastball. No, not for your third baseman.
Right, exactly. You got to be letting it fly on fastball. So that part, you know, concerned me a little bit.
I'm not totally worried about Boehm simply for the fact that I know he can hit. I know he could hit in this league. We've seen it before. You know, you're always going to struggle before, especially young players. Like that's what makes players great or good is they, you know, a lot of times they struggle before they find it. So let's hope it's that. And, like I keep saying about baseball, it's just a waiting game, you know, let's see where we are in a couple weeks.
Moving on. Position to position, another big hole, obviously, with center field. Like, but is Odubel Herrera good? I mean, he's got his average up to 273. He's been playing really well as of late, and maybe that's just kind of the team around him, and the offense has just been – the ball's been jumping off the bat for everybody, it seems like. But, like, he's been playing pretty well recently.
Now, are you saying he's a good player in general or this year?
Well,
or you're asking, I'm saying.
I guess both. Like, he's not a good player in general because, like, he's going to suck again at some point, so let's just enjoy the hot streak he's on. But, like, can they survive with Herrera as the center fielder for the foreseeable future until they go get somebody? I mean.
Okay, so I'm gonna do something real quick. So his first – so I was looking at his stats a couple weeks ago. I believe his first 2 years, he finished the season hitting in the 290s. And then his third season, I think he hit the 270s. And then his last two seasons before the things came out about him with his girlfriend or fiance, whatever, his wife, the 2 years before that happened, he literally hit like in the 220s.
Yeah, it was the year before it was 220. I don't remember what the 2 years before was.
So, all right. So I'm going to pull up a stat. So his rookie year, oh my God. All right, so his rookie year average was 297. That was 2015. 16, he hit 286. 2017, 281. 2018, 255. So it's just going down as the years go on. Now, in 2019, he hit 222 before halfway through the season, all the stuff came out and got suspended. Now he's hitting 273. Now, is he a good player? I think he's a major league player. I do. As much as we get on him and I get on him, I think he's a major league player, but like, I don't know. He's the best option, obviously, for center field, but I don't think he is a good baseball player. I don't know. I don't know. It's a waiting game. I don't know. Let's see how he continues this season. Like, do they have to go get a center fielder? I would.
Well, they're going to have to eventually, but like,
that's what I'm saying.
He's been playing well enough that like, maybe, I mean, I don't know if this team can afford to wait to the deadline. If you can make a deal for a center fielder today, you do it.
But I disagree.
You disagree?
I disagree. I think you see what he is until the deadline. If he starts to go down, I ride the hot hand. Keep him going. If he starts to creep down in like the 250s, you know, 240s, you go get a center fielder. If you're competing for the division at that point, which I think they probably will be, but I just think there's other holes you could fill if he continues to stay at this 273, if he stays at this 270, 280 guy.
Yeah, I mean, his career average is 276, so he's kind of right where his career says he should be.
Mediocre.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, the Phillies, I think they're still going to be in the race, so to speak, down the stretch. I mean, as long as they keep this lineup hot, and granted, long season, they could go on cold streak just as much as they went on a hot streak. But I mean, they're still 4 games back of the Mets. Like, it's June. That could change, right? So,
yeah. Plus, the Mets have played like 3 or 4 less games than everybody else.
Right.
And the Nats, I believe.
Yeah, maybe.
So I think if he's still doing what he's doing now by the deadline, if you were deciding before between a center fielder or a pitcher, we're going pitcher. Like that again. I think that's the right move. There's actually a rumor I saw that could possibly. I mean, I don't know if it will happen or could happen, but there is a rumor circulating that Jose Barrios or whatever from Minnesota was looking to possibly get out of there, and
really
the Phillies were linked to it. Yeah. To a guy
yeah,
like
I mean,
him.
He steps in. He's 2 or 3, probably 3 behind Wheeler and Nola. But I mean,
I think he can actually be like in this rotation. He probably is 2nd or 3rd, but I think he is a number 2 guy. Like, I think he's a really good number 2 guy.
Right.
I mean, he's the Twins like number 1 guy. I don't think he's an ace, but you know, he's had, oh man, he's had 2017, 14 wins, 2018, 12 wins, 2019, 14 wins. And then the last 2 seasons, I think he was hurt a little bit. Yeah, he pitched well last year, obviously, a short season, but the year before that, I think he was hurt. He only had 12 starts, but yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely a guy that's intriguing me.
What?
I don't think they'll give up Buxton or anybody, but for center.
No chance in hell they give up Buxton.
He is a free agent soon.
Is he?
Yeah.
I feel like he's younger, isn't he?
He's 30.
Is he that old? He's been in the league that long.
Yeah. Or he's 29.
Really? Did he come up late? Because I just remember hearing his name really the last like 2, 3 years, 4 years maybe.
I lied. He's 27.
Okay.
So he is 27. He's been up here since 2015.
Okay, that surprised me that it was that long.
Yeah, so after this year, he's a free agent.
Okay, yeah, I mean, maybe they do move him then.
I mean, I he's 27, so
Right, you could always lock, you could always.
They're just
up
having a
guys.
Bad year.
Right.
Right.
That's true. What's going on with Spencer Howard?
I don't know what's going on with him.
I mean, he's not good, right? Like they gotta. He's young, so I don't want to say move on from him completely, but they got to get him right.
Yeah, I feel like I keep banging this drum, but like again, he's young, so like you got to give it a little bit of time here. Like baseball, you know, we're so used to like these young guys coming up in all these sports and just hitting it hard, and it's like we kind of forget that okay, like maybe that's not the norm. So I don't know. Let's just give it a little. I know that we're close. Into winning the division or taking the division, we're right there with the Mets, but this team isn't that good. Like this division's not good, so like you can't expect the Phillies to have 100 wins. You know what I mean? So or have a roster that could get all those wins or something. You know what I'm saying? Like
I think that was the expectation a year or two ago.
What?
To have a team that can win a division. Especially after signing.
Well, no, I mean 100. I mean like close to like 100 win team. Like,
hey, if you're winning the division, you're up there at 95, 100. I think.
Not at this division.
No, maybe not at this division, but I think that was expectation to dominate when you signed Bryce Harper to a
$30 million
contract.
No, all I'm saying is, we look at this roster, and because we're so close to the Mets in the standings, we're expecting this team to be really good. Like, I'm kind of wording it wrong. Not expecting this team to be good, but because they're so close to first place, it's like we're expecting all these guys to hit their goals or hit their pinnacles or finally do something. When Moniak's 22 and Spencer Howard's what, 24 or whatever he is, and they don't have a lot of experience. Like you can't expect that from this roster, is all I'm saying. Just because they're up there in wins and just because they're up there with the Mets for a possible, division win doesn't mean they're a good team. It's just a shitty division.
Sure.
They're a 500 team. That's just what it is. Like as of today.
Right. Yeah. I guess you're right.
I'm just saying just I know we've been waiting forever, but let's just, it's still patience. Like, it's still, you know, like, we know Roman Quinn can't play. We kind of know that Haseley can't play. Like, not that he can't. I think Haseley's a major league player, but he's not an everyday center fielder.
No, he's a bench guy or a platoon guy at most.
Right. I agree. But I just think because the Phillies are up in the division, people are expecting these guys to, like, be great, and it's just, they're either A, they're not there yet, or B, they're just not great.
Right.
Sorry, that was a lot of rambling.
No, that's fine. That's what we do.
Yep.
So do we, Zach Wheeler's this ace, or is this team's ace, right?
I've said it multiple times.
I know you've been banging that drum, I feel like, all season, but, like, he's got more strikeouts than Nola. He's got a better ERA. He's got less home runs allowed, less earned runs, like, less hits. I mean, in every statistical category, he's got Nola beat. I mean, Nola, and we've just seen more consistency from Wheeler, whereas Nola just could have a good game, good two games, and then a not so good game. So,
well, what's the definition of ace? Is it your best pitcher, or does this guy actually have to be a legitimate good, like, great pitcher? Like, is it just the team's best pitcher, or is it a great pitcher? Like, what is the definition?
If you had to look up the definition of ace, it's probably the team's. Hold on, you know what? Let's do a little experiment.
So while you look that up,
yep.
While you look that up, the actual term definition. What is your definition?
My definition is an overall great pitcher.
I agree. Now I think that of Wheeler. Like, he's not just the Phillies' best pitcher. That's why he's the ace. Like, he's legitimately a great pitcher, in my opinion.
Hold on. Let me look this up now. So Wikipedia, because apparently that's the site that's, you know, always right. Right. Baseball, an ace is the best starting pitcher on a team and nearly always the first pitcher in a team starting rotation.
Yeah, I don't like that.
But okay,
I don't like that definition.
I don't like that definition either. So I'll, you know, for shits and giggles, let's pick a definition. So on dictionary.com, the definition of just ace is a person who excels at a particular sport or other activity. That's very vague.
Yeah. So
I mean, I guess by definition, I guess, like, is Nola in it? Well, is he though? Because that's the thing is, if, say this team gets into the playoffs, like, with how well Wheeler's been playing, who pitches game one? And maybe that'll say if, you know, who's the ace of this staff.
Yeah, but then again, like, my opinion is it's not somebody, like you said, it's not somebody who is just their number one guy. I think you legitimately have to be, like, a very good player.
I agree. DeGrom's an ace, obviously. I mean, what DeGrom's doing this year.
DeGrom's an elite superstar.
Yeah, what DeGrom's doing. I think he's got like a 0.7 ERA. It's stupid what he's doing.
We're going back to a couple episodes, how we talked about the illegal substances and stuff. Did you see all like the Mets players tweeted?
I didn't see what the Mets players tweeted, but I did see that the MLB is now going to suspend pitchers 20 games, or not 20, 10 games if they get caught with it.
Yeah, so actually let me tell you about the Mets. The Mets, a bunch of players have tweeted out in support of DeGrom how he doesn't use any substances. They basically said, could you imagine if he did? Which right. if he doesn't, like, that would be fucking sick if he did. Like, I don't think anybody would be able to even touch him. So, you know, just thought that was a little interesting. But of course your players are gonna back you, but I also read that they're gonna check like 8 to 10 times a game now.
Oh, really?
Starting in like 2 weeks. Yeah, they're going to, like, umpires are going to check randomly every pitcher like 8 to 10 or 8 to 12 times a game.
Right.
Whenever they want.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about that. Like, I mean, I guess if they do
I think it's probably going to be in between innings and.
Right. If it doesn't slow down the game. I was gonna say, if it doesn't slow the game down by any means, sure. Go for it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like a 2-2 count and like the umpire comes out and says, let me check your hat. Like, I don't think it's going to be like that, but.
Right.
But I thought that was interesting. I think that starts in like a week or two. So hopefully that helps us out the sport a little.
Yeah, for sure. I'm trying to look up Zach Wheeler's stats. So what do you consider an ace? Do you say he has to be a top of like a top pitcher in the league? Do you have to be top 15, top 20, top 30? How many teams are the 30s? Top 30? You got to just be a top 30 pitcher. What is, in your estimation, would an ace be?
Don't get me wrong. I do think there's a little bit of it being, you have to be the top guy in your, on your team, but also be a great pitcher. So maybe like a top 15 pitcher, I guess.
Okay.
I would say 15, around 15.
Right. I mean,
is Zach Wheeler a top 15 pitcher?
Well, he's 16th in ERA right now. He's 12th when it comes to strikeouts per nine. I could look what he's up. Walks per nine. He is, let me see. Where'd he was just up here.
So then maybe by my definition, he might not be, in quotations,
21st in walks per inning. So he's probably right now with the season he's having, he's probably somewhere in the 15 to 20 range.
20. Yeah, I agree with that.
So
maybe he's not an ace, but he's on his way. Or I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know.
Okay, I was just curious where you kind of think an ace should be. I mean, I guess with the definition of top player, like the top,
by that definition, yeah.
Yeah, but like.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Try to hammer this out. So I think if you're a top pitcher on a staff, not necessarily because that could depend on the strength of the staff, but I think if you're a top 30 pitcher, I think you're an ace, because that means that you should be theoretically the number one guy on any team in the league, theoretically.
Yeah, but what happens if you're the Detroit Tigers, I guess? Like who's the Detroit Tigers ace? So like, just because there's 30 teams doesn't mean every team has an ace. Like
I know that, but some team might have two. You know what I mean? Like
the top 30, you can't say the top 30 because there's 30 teams is what I'm saying.
Well, no, I'm just saying in hypothetical, I think if you're a top 30 pitcher, you could be an ace on any team in the league, regardless of what team you're on is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So I think for a top 30 pitcher, I think you're an ace. And I think Wheeler's there at least this year. And with the way Noel's been pitching, I think he's borderline.
This year, yeah. Or just in general. No, so I agree. I agree. I think they're both top 30 pitchers in the last, let's say the last 2 years since Wheeler's been here.
Right.
He had a very good year last year. He's having a good year this year. Nola had a, you know, pretty good year last year, having a really bad, or not really bad, but having struggling this year. So yeah, I think ultimately in the last 2 years they're both top 30 pitchers, but this year Nola's kind of on that border. I agree.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, we'll see what the Phillies do this week. Probably lose two, win two. You know, it's fine.
Yeah, and you just won't jump on the bandwagon that they're a 500 team.
Why? Well, I've been saying since we started this podcast they're a 500 team. Yeah, I'm just for whatever
faithful,
reason,
man. You're faithful.
Yeah, we're Philly sports.
You keep saying they're going to win the division. I hope you're right.
I said they could. No, I didn't say they will. I said that was the expectation when you sign a Bryce Harper to that contract. Like, that's just the expectation that you should.
Well, yeah.
You should be winning the division every year. Like,
yeah, but the Nationals didn't win the division every year when they drafted him.
True.
It was every other year. So
true.
No, I don't disagree. I'm not trying to like break your balls or anything, but like, I don't know. I think you have a lot of confidence in this team, and I a lot more than I do.
Yeah, maybe I'm just hopeful because I don't really have confidence in them.
Look, man,
like,
I appreciate it. Yeah. I wish I had it, but I just with the way this team collapsed the last 2 or 3 years, I don't have it.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, you want to move to the Flyers now?
Yeah.
All right, there's not much to really talk about with the Flyers, honestly, this week. Apparently, Nolan Patrick wants out, which is like kind of been a rumor that's kind of been going on the last, I don't know, month or so, really, since the season ended. Apparently, he requested a trade. I don't know if he has really I don't think he has the authority, really, at this point in his career to be requesting trades, but like, I don't really blame him because. Like, if I'm him, I also want to change the scenery. Like, it hasn't worked out in Philly. Get me somewhere else.
I'm going to send out an email of whatever he would. I'll help him pack his bags, essentially. Like, I'll come to his house. I'll fold all of his t-shirts. I'll match his socks. Right. I'll underwear, whatever. See ya. Bye. Right. Don't let the door hit you on the ass. Apparently he fired his agent, right?
This is, I think, his third agent now.
So he fired. I read that he fired his agent.
He did.
Because he wants to be traded or something like that.
I don't know the exact reason, but he did switch agencies, correct? Or agents, correct?
Yeah, I don't blame him either, but like, what are you going to dictate? Like, you know, what have you done in this league? You've played two full seasons and what, one half season like this year, but like, I don't know. I think it's ballsy to dictate what you want, but at the same token, I'd fucking see you.
Yeah, the Nolan Patrick situation's weird to me. Like, I was reading a tweet earlier, maybe it was today or this weekend, but that said, like, the Sixers, who was it? The Sixers, Flyers, and there was a third one. Who was the third team?
It was the Eagles.
Was it?
Yeah. So it might be
the same tweet you're thinking of. Go ahead, rattle it.
Yeah. So the last time the was it the Phillies? The last time the Phillies won a playoff series?
That's what it was. No. It was the Phillies, though. The tweet that I saw was the Phillies, the Sixers, and the Flyers picked number one and two in the last 12 years three times and ended up with Nolan Patrick, Mickey Moniak, and Markel Fultz.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Like, it's insane, isn't it?
I saw something too that had to go with the Phillies. I know we're talking Flyers, but the Flyers do have something in this. So the last time the Phillies made the playoffs, right? Joel Embiid was 17 and was in his second year of playing basketball. Simmons was 14 and Tyrese Maxey was 10. The QBs on the Eagles roster were Mike Vick, Mike Kafka, and Vince Young. And Chris Pronger was the Flyers captain.
That was the last time when?
The Phillies
made the playoffs.
Made the playoffs. 2011.
Wow. Okay, we got really depressing right now.
Yeah.
Which again is is the first time we saw LeBron James in the finals, basically.
Well, he's not the first time.
His second
finals.
It started that run of LeBron and Curry. Right. It was 2011. That's wild. Okay.
Yep.
There's really not much with the Flyers. They announced that.
Except it's fuck Nolan Patrick on 100.
Right. They announced that Ian LaPerriere is going to be the coach of the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. And he's been behind the bench really the last few years. He's been running the penalty kill, and the penalty kill hasn't been good. LaPerriere is not really that good of a coach, at least not that we've seen. We haven't seen results. I know a lot of fans are upset with him being the coach of the Phantoms, but like, I don't really care. It's the goddamn AHL hockey team. Like, I just don't care about the Phantoms right now. I put too much energy into caring about the shitty Flyers. I don't really care about the Phantoms. Like, are you upset about Ian LaPerriere being the coach of the Lehigh Valley Phantoms?
Are you asking me specifically, or are you just saying in general?
No, I'm asking specifically.
I couldn't give two shits.
Okay.
But that's me as a semi diehard, very big casual. If I was a diehard like you and some other people we know, I would probably be pretty pissed off about it simply for the fact, and don't get me wrong, I love the Flyers. The Flyers are probably my number three team in the city, but just seeing what this team has been, how long has he been with the Flyers? 2000.
As a coach, well, he's a player first.
As a coach. As a coach. 2015?
Maybe even longer.
Okay, so roughly 2014, 15, 16, somewhere around there. What has he done positively?
Nothing.
That makes him the coach for the Phantoms, other than the fact that he's a yes guy?
Nothing. He took a puck off the face once.
Twice, actually.
Or it was twice.
Yeah.
There you go.
But as a coach, like, what has he done, like, that said, okay, yeah, we're going to hire that guy, like, other than the fact that, like, we can basically tell him what to do? And not that you're really telling him what to do as a Phantoms coach, but still, you have a guy in there that knows the system, knows everybody, and we know we can kind of not control him, but you know, we have the last say. Like, he won't give us a hard time. That's the way that I view it. And if I was this diehard fan where I watched every single solitary game like you do, I would be way upset because this team, this organization has done nothing with him behind the bench.
Right.
Nothing really positive other than winning 10 straight games last year and then losing in the playoffs. Like, to me, I just don't know how he's qualified. Not qualified, but I just don't know how he's, oh, we see LaPerriere's name on a piece of sheet. Like, that's the guy. Like,
right.
I don't know.
So he took the puck off the face.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Yep. Simply for the fact that he's developing these young players. Like, that's right. Like, even as a diehard casual, like that even upsets me a little bit. Like, I don't watch the Phantoms. Don't get me wrong, but I do watch the Flyers a lot. And it's like, I don't like this guy that couldn't really be an assistant coach up here is going to be the head coach for developing players. Like, I don't know. Now you're getting me more passionate about it.
So I'm sorry to cut you off.
No,
you're good. So he, in September 2010, he started experiencing the symptoms of the post-concussion syndrome stuff after getting hit in the face. He officially retired in 2012. Then in June of 2012, he was named the director of player development. And then in 2013, he began serving as an assistant coach.
Yeah, too long.
Here's something fun. I completely forgot about this. In 2012, which is the same year he, you know, retired, he appeared in the movie This Is 40 alongside Scott Hartnell, James Van Riemsdyk, and Matt Carl.
Yeah. And then there was like some random, did you ever see 22 Jump Street?
22 Jump Street is fantastic.
So the football player, do you remember the football? He's the blonde dude. He's actually the hockey player in quotations. He's the one that gets all the lines that kind of tries to pick up Leslie Mann and This Is 40.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's him?
Yeah. So that was a little movie tidbit for you guys.
There you go. I just don't really care about Ian LaPerriere. Like, I get the point of that. Like, he's going to be working with the young players, but like we keep hearing about these young guys and how good they are and they're going to develop. Like, I just want a winning hockey team. I don't care who's in the system. Just come up and just do your job. Like, I don't care about the Phantoms. I really just don't.
Well, what about this kid? Zade Wisdom. Is that his name?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, he's him and, like, you know, who do you, is Wade Allison starting on the Flyers next year?
With the way that he, when he was called, I would say so. Yeah.
Okay. So, played. All right. So we'll take him off the list. So Wisdom and I don't know who Cam York is probably going to start with the Flyers, or is he going to start with the Phantoms?
He's not a lock. I wouldn't say he's a lock.
Okay.
No.
So let's say hypothetically, let's put him on the roster for the Phantoms. So you got Wisdom, York.
I don't think Wisdom might not be eligible to play in the NHL or the AHL next year.
Well, I thought he just signed.
That's right. He did sign.
A couple weeks before the season ended.
You're right. Because he technically wasn't supposed to play in the AHL because he's not eligible because he played in juniors. But since they were in their junior leagues because of COVID, they made an exception.
Right.
And those guys were able to play in the AHL. But like usually 18-year-olds from Canadian juniors can't play in the AHL right away.
Okay. So those are two guys off the top of my head. Who else from the Phantoms has a shot to get here? Is there anybody off the top of your head?
I don't even know that Wisdom has a shot to get here next year, but like,
I'm just saying in general, in the next year or two,
Tyson Forrester, but he even might have to go back to juniors. I don't think he signed yet, but he's one.
So just guys that'll be here in the next year or two.
Morgan Frost, hopefully we see eventually.
So these are all guys that LaPerriere, who was horrible as an assistant coach, is going to be a head coach for in developing these guys for this team.
Sure, yeah.
That's the only negative I see. Look, he's probably a nice guy. He probably knows his X's and O's, but, like, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. I don't fucking know.
I think it represents more the culture of the Flyers. Like, not necessarily good move, bad move, whatever. It's the fact that it's just, like, once a Flyer, always a Flyer, never looking outside of the organization. They announced that.
I'm done with that, though.
Well, they announced that there was a report that former Flyer Nick Schultz is the front runner to take LaPierre's job as an assistant coach.
But like, what has he done to be qualified? Like, how is he qualified?
I haven't looked into what he's done coaching wise since he stopped playing, so I don't know. But he wore a Flyers jersey, so that, I think it angers me a little bit in like the just the message and the culture that it sends, that it's just a big Flyers group that they just don't go outside of the organization. So that part I get you. Like that part's a little frustrating.
Right. So I respect that and I love that, and the Flyers, they're one of the very few teams in sports that have ever changed their logo and their colors, and I respect and I love the fact that they keep these guys around. It's just like, I don't know, like what, when's the last time it's worked? Like, and don't get me wrong, like AV has had one really good season and one really bad season, and he was outside of the Flyers circle, but like, I don't know, man. It's just they seem to always do this, and it just kind of never works.
Right. Okay. So I did just look up Nick Schultz. I should have done that before we started. I didn't think we were going to plan on talking about him. But so after he was done playing, I think he took a couple years off, and then so the Flyers hired him in 2019 as a player development coach. So basically, no experience before that as any sort of coach or anything, and apparently he's a front runner to be the assistant coach on this hockey team.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. That's like Steve Nash with the Nets. Like he was in Golden State as like a trainer. He wasn't even a coach, and now he's like a head coach for the Nets. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're getting ready to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, but like, I don't know. I guess that's just the way that sports are now. It's just, you know, if you were a good player or a great player or just somebody, you know, who had a ball sack, I don't know. I don't know. I don't. So I mean, that's why I'm here and they're there. So, you know.
Right, exactly. All right. Well, I think that just about does it this week. Anything to wrap up here? Any final thoughts?
I don't think so, man. I'm just patiently waiting for football.
Yeah.
And I say that as a diehard Sixers fan, I want to see them go all the way. My selfishness is I hope they get to the finals, and it brings us to the end of July. And then at the end of July, training camp starts, and we're and 2 weeks away we're from preseason and 3 weeks away from the regular season. So, like,
right. That actually just reminded me before we get out of here, I just got to get your opinion on the Julio Jones trade.
Okay. Good for Tennessee. I mean, it sucks this wasn't 2 years ago because the Eagles could have done that easily and I would have loved it. But
so, what was it? Julio and a sixth for a second and a fourth or something?
Correct.
Like that?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah, so now he's going to play with A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry and Tannehill and a good offensive line and a good defense. You know, they might give Kansas City a run for the money.
I don't know. I still don't buy. I know he's been really good the last couple of years, but, like, I don't buy Ryan Tannehill. I just don't. I don't know.
He's in the right situation.
Oh, for
he
sure.
Wasn't, he Absolutely. Wasn't bad in Miami. It was just a terrible coach. He's for actually sure. Probably the best system quarterback. Him and Dak are probably the two best system quarterbacks in the league. You can win with both.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have the right supporting cast.
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe she's in the perfect spot. And again, Henry's an absolute animal.
Yeah.
Henry's ridiculous. So.
Yeah. He's not human.
No, he's
definitely a situation where you don't need to pay this quarterback all this money. You could just bring in Tannehill. He goes out there. He does his job. He'll probably win you a game or two on his own during the regular season. But that's all you're going to need him for. The team will take the rest of, you know, the rest of the team will take on the wins. You know, the defense and the offense, like, you might need him to win you a game or two. So I think he's in the right situation. I'm a Tannehill fan. I don't think he's, like, this great quarterback, but I do like Tennessee. I do.
Yeah, and now he's got Julio Jones to throw to, so
right. That
helps. All right, well, that just about does it this week for Fired Up. You can, you know, listen to us anywhere you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, if you're into that sort of thing. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the fun places at Fired Up Podcast. And until next week, we'll see you then.
Mary. lottery redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.